best way to make God laugh, yes. And I thought my Christmas was all lined up. I had all my shopping done, and I had sent a substantial gift card to my daughter's family in Colorado, and I was planning to sing in a quartet Christmas Eve service, and I was even printed in the bulletin as liturgist for the Christmas Eve service. My name was already there. But didn't turn out that way at all. So I have to back up a little bit and tell you that prior to December, I had just two things going on. I needed the laminectomy. You had all seen me walking gimpy and not able to stand up straight, and I needed the laminectomy procedure. And I had also had a couple of angiograms, and all they showed was that I had one blocked artery, which was a trifurcated vessel, and the collaterals were carrying the load, and I was completely functional, and it was an elective surgery that I could choose to have that bypass anytime I wanted to. It was not a problem. And that was my condition. My hip was bothering me a bit too. It's still arthritic, and eventually I'll be having a hip replacement. That's going to be next on the agenda. But I had the laminectomy. It was a great success. But my orthopedic surgeon had taken me off of my aspirin and ibuprofen 2 weeks before the laminectomy. It was a great success, and everything was fine except that I developed an internal hematoma, a big blood hematoma, shortly after it, and I had to return to surgery, have the hematoma removed by Dr. Steinman, and then I was fine after that. But because of that, when I asked Dr. Steinman, when can I begin my aspirin regimen again, he said, we don't want to have any more problems with bleeding. He says, we want you to wait a couple more weeks before you go back on your aspirin again. And I thought, and in retrospect, looking back on that, that was a mistake. That was a huge mistake. That led into everything that followed. I was fine. I was walking well. I was just about to divorce from the walker. I even came to church here one Sunday. I believe it was the 15th of December with my walker, sat in the congregation, didn't sing in the choir, but I was here. I was here in church on the 15th of December. Well, Saturday the 21st, I started having chest pains. About 1 o'clock in the afternoon, I started having chest pains. And I was right in the middle of trying to get some Christmas decorations together, and it was a nuisance. And it's like, okay. So I took a nitroglycerin tablet, which my cardiologist had prescribed for me just in case. And the pain subsided a bit, but it didn't go completely away. And over the course of the next couple of hours, it came back to its original intensity. So I took another nitroglycerin pill. And again, it subsided, but it didn't, and I, both times I thought, okay, this is going to go away, and everything's going to be fine. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. It's going to go away, but it would only subside, and then it would come back. At that point, I decided to disobey doctor's orders and have an aspirin. I went ahead and took an aspirin, and that's probably one of the most important things that I had done in preserving my life, although I didn't know it at the time. Took a third nitroglycerin pill a couple hours later. It subsided, came back to its intensity. The whole thing started about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. By about 8:30 in the evening, I'm thinking, this is serious and I need to actually treat this seriously. So I sat Mom down and I said, Mom, I'm going to call the paramedics and have them take me to the ER. And I told her why. And so I did that. I called the paramedics. They came. They checked me out a little bit, put me on the gurney in the ambulance going to the ER at Redlands Community. So while we're on that trip, they hook me up to an EKG machine, and the guy looks at the readings and he says, oh, wow. He says, this is really abnormal. He says, you definitely have something going on here. I said, okay, well, we're going to the ER. So we go to the ER at Redlands Community. They take a blood draw, and they immediately analyze it in the lab, and they come back and say, this particular number, this index number from your blood is really high, and you're in crisis, you're having a heart attack. And I said, oh, okay. I didn't feel like I was having a heart attack, I just had chest pain. And they said, we need to get you someplace where they can handle you because we don't have the cardiology specialists here to take care of you, this case. So we have to transfer you. I said, can you send me to Riverside Community Hospital because that's where my cardiology team is based, and even the cardiosurgeon who I had one consultation appointment with, he's based out of that hospital too. How about sending me to Riverside Community? Oh no, we have to send you someplace really close that you're, because you're in crisis, we have to send you to Loma Linda. And I said, okay, I don't argue with this. So she runs out of the room, the charge nurse leaves the room, she comes back 5 minutes later, she says, Loma Linda is completely full, they can't take anybody else. And I said, oh, then can you send me to Riverside Community? Reluctantly, she agreed to send me to Riverside Community. So this is the first time I see God's hand in play, because Loma Linda was full, couldn't take me, so they went ahead and sent me to Riverside Community, where all my cardiologists and my surgeon were based. So I take another ambulance ride, long ride from Redlands to Riverside, and I end up in the ER room at Riverside Community. I'm in the hallway at Riverside Community. They hook me up to a monitor. They're checking me a little bit, but I'm waiting, and there are all these other patients coming in. It's a crazy night. It's like a full moon night, and they have all of these cases coming in, people that are bloody on the gurneys, people that are unconscious and don't look like they're breathing, and all these cases are coming in, and they come to me and say, you know, you're next, and I said, don't worry about me, I'm okay. Take care of these people. Take care of these other people. They're, you know, they look like they're gonna die. And so they, you know, continually take care of these other people. And a couple more come in, a gunshot wound or something, you know. And the nurse comes back to me and says, you're next. And I said, please, take care of these people first. I'm stable, I'm here. Take care of these people. So I didn't think anything about it at the time, but looking back on it later, God might have had me there. I might have been the correct patient at the correct time to be in the hallway at the ER at Riverside Community to pass my turn several times and try to take care of these other people. Maybe, possibly, I don't know, but could have been a factor in a couple of lives being saved. So God may have used me in that way. Just speculation on my part, but it's interesting for me to look back on it now. Eventually the doctor comes and says, we have a room for you, room 21. He says, there was somebody in there a little while ago, but they disappeared, don't know where they went. And I said, oh. And I love to kid around with people, I do it all the time. I said, doctor, I said, don't you put me in a jinxed room where people are disappearing. I said, I don't want a jinxed room. And he said, oh no, he laughed and he says, I'm sure they were just transferred, you know, somewhere else or went to a regular room or something. He says, we just don't know what happened to them. And I said, okay, well, I just don't want you to put me in a jinxed room. So they put me in room 21. It's a small room. It's got the bed. It's got about 3 feet of clearance on each side of the bed and maybe five or six feet of clearance from the foot of the bed to the front wall. It's a small room. Got a nurse there with a portable console that rolls around. She's inputting information. And two young doctors come in. Neither one of them could have been over 40. They told me their names, but I don't remember what their names were. They come in and start asking me questions, and I'm answering their questions, and the nurse is taking down the information. I had what I like to call an eye blink experience. Maybe some of you remember when you were younger and you would lay down in bed to go to sleep for the night, and you would open your eyes a second later, and it was morning, and the sunlight's coming in, and the birds are singing, and you had no concept of any passage of time. You closed your eyes, you opened them, and it was morning. It's an eye-blink experience with no passage of time whatsoever. I'm answering questions to these doctors. In the next instant, I'm waking up and I've got a huge plastic tube down my throat, which is gagging me. It's gagging me. And so I'm going like this, you know, I can't speak, but I'm going, get it out, get it out, get it out. I want them to pull the tube. So they pull the tube out, and I notice that my clothes are cut off. My clothes have been completely cut off. They're shredded and tattered and just lying loose under my body, and I've got like a gown draped over me. And I look up, and there's got to be 12 to 14 people lining the walls of this little tiny room, all looking at me. And they all have hospital clothes on, you know, technicians and nurses and workers, hospital workers. There's like 14 people in this room, and they're all looking at me. And I said, what is going on? And I noticed that my chest was really sore. It was really sore. And I said, what is going on? And the charge nurse said, you coded. I said, I whatted? She said, you coded. You had full cardiac arrest. You went unconscious, and your heart stopped. Really? She says, we gave you 3 rounds of CPR. Nothing worked, so we got the paddles. She said, we used the paddles on you 3 times to get you back. I said, wow, okay, wow. And so all these people came in to witness the attempted, you know, resuscitation of me when I was gone. I was gone, and they brought me back. So, talk about God's perfect timing. I had taken 2 ambulance rides from Yucaipa to Redlands and from Redlands to Riverside. I'd spent all this time in the hallway of the ER passing my turn and telling them to take care of the other patients first. And God was holding me back from having a heart attack that entire time. And once I was in the ER room with a nurse and 2 doctors present, he let it happen at exactly the right time and exactly the right place where they could handle it and resuscitate me and bring me back. Talk about a miracle. That's a miracle right there. Praise the Lord. So a couple of big burly guys show up with a gurney. They're going to take me down to the cath lab. And so all the people start leaving the room real quick. And so they get me on the gurney, take me down to the cath lab. They give me a local anesthetic down here. And they put a couple of huge tubes through my groin. And they get into my heart and they do angioplasty. They do the little balloon thing where they clear out. Turns out I had a couple of major arteries that were clotting. They were clotting cells and that were coagulating in there and cutting off the blood to my heart. And nobody saw it coming. I didn't see it coming. But, you know, through the whole time, I was never afraid. I was never fearful. I was always confident that I was going to get checked out and everything was going to be okay, you know? And it says in the Bible, it says, be not afraid, for I am with you. And that's exactly the attitude that I had. I never was fearful at any point in time. I had no idea I was headed for a major heart attack and that God was orchestrating the time and the place when that was going to happen. Amazing. So anyway, they do the angioplasty on me. They put me on a blood circulating machine, portable unit that they can roll around with me. And they take me back to the ICU room. And I'm lying there. And they said, we're going to schedule you for open heart surgery. I said, okay, you know, that's fine. I'm going along with the program, whatever you think. But I've got this blood circulating machine going through tubes in my groin, and they have me stable. And a cardiologist I've never met before comes in and informs me that the surgeon will be there shortly and talk to me about the surgery. And the surgeon shows up and he says, we're going to schedule you for a triple bypass day after tomorrow, which will be Christmas Eve, the Tuesday the 24th. Just to backtrack a little bit, when I was having the chest pains and it got to be about 8:30 in the evening, and I was deciding whether I should, you know, get checked out or if I should just go to bed and I'd feel better in the morning. That was probably the worst thing I possibly could have done, and it would have ruined my entire family's Christmas because I would have passed away in the bed. Fortunately, I didn't do that. Mom didn't have to find me dead in the bed the next morning, and my family's Christmas turned out a little better than it would have if I had just gone to bed. But anyway, the surgeon says, we're going to schedule you for a triple bypass Christmas Eve morning, and he says, you'll probably do okay. Another cardiologist comes in I've never met before, and he starts talking to me about risk factors. And I said, well, what are my chances? Am I going to do okay in the surgery? And he says, you know, he says, you don't have COPD, you don't have diabetes, you don't have kidney failure, you don't have any of these other things that, you know, increase your risk factor. He says, you're probably in the 95% of good, you know, you're low risk, you're going to make it just fine. And I said, by the way, doctor, I said, I had a cardiac arrest. I had a heart attack in there. I said, what percentage of my heart muscle was damaged by that heart attack? Because I've heard that when you have a major heart attack, some of the muscle is usually damaged and you lose part of your heart function. I said, what percentage of my heart muscle was lost in my heart attack? He smiles and he goes, zero. None. Says your heart is completely intact. Now, is this another miracle? It's absolutely another miracle. God's hand was in it. So, I have the surgery Christmas Eve morning. I'm not going to be here to be liturgist for the service that evening. I'm sorry, I'm going to be flat on my back with tubes coming out of me and the blood circulating. So he was in there to do a triple, and he decided, he saw another spot, and he decided to do another one as long as he was in there. And I ended up with a quadruple bypass. Instead of just three, he did four. So, you know, I figure Riverside Community was having a special that day. You buy three and you get the fourth one free. And I had a quadruple bypass. And I start hearing this term bandied about. They're talking about cabbage. And they're rolling me back from the surgery to the ICU, and the techs are bringing me and the nurse is receiving me. The nurse says, what have we got here? Tech says, cabbage times four. And I'm going, this is interesting. And the nurse says, oh, okay, well, we'll take real good care of him. And she puts me in the room, and I'm saying, what is this business about cabbage? And she says, you had a cardio-arterial bypass graft, CABG, cardio-arterial bypass graft, cabbage. I said, oh, okay. So eventually, I made a little joke about it, started telling my family and friends that the cardiosurgeon took me for a five-hour stroll through the cabbage patch, and I came back with four new cabbages. And this was my little joke about it. So anyway, long story short, I, you know, went through the ordeal of recovery. I was 3 or 4 days in the ICU, and then another 3 or 4 days in the regular hospital room, recovering and getting strong enough to where they could finally discharge me to a rehab facility, which was in Redlands, Highland Care Center. And I was finally, eventually, after, you know, going through all the recovery process and that ordeal, you know, getting up and trying to walk again, you know, it was quite something. But God was with me the whole way, and on New Year's Eve, I was transferred, discharged out of Riverside Community and put in the Highland Care Center here in Redlands, where I spent the next 3 weeks. So my little joke about that, for my holiday season, as it turns out, I had a quadruple bypass for Christmas, and then I had a 3-week stay in the rehab facility for New Year's. And I was there from New Year's Day until Monday the 20th, which is just about exactly 3 weeks before I could finally go home. I'm strong now. Everything healed well. I didn't get any infection. I still feel it. It's numb and uncomfortable, but it is what it is, and I was probably going to have it eventually anyway. Let's hear it for God's perfect timing. And now that I've had this major tune-up here, I'm probably good for another 100,000 miles. So praise the Lord. He had his hand in it all the way, and God is good all the time, all the time. Amen.